Calling all lovers of mystery and fans of a good story. If you haven't already heard me talk about June's journey, you're in for a treat. It's time to don your detective hat in this free hidden object mobile game that delves into the captivating journey of June Parker, a self-proclaimed detective on a quest to unravel the mystery surrounding her sister's untimely death. In June's journey, you get to play as June, deciphering clues and unveiling secret plots within thousands of beautifully illustrated scenes. And did I mention it's set in the glitzy 1920s? New chapters are added weekly, so you will never run out of new thrills to uncover, and you can also personalize and decorate your very own Orchid Island where the story takes place. How sharp are your detective skills? Find out when you download June's Journey on your Android or iOS device, or play online via Facebook Games. Your detective journey awaits. I'm someone who loves trying out different makeup looks, but doesn't really wear much on a daily basis, so I like to focus on making sure I have high quality staples. And whether you like a fresh face, full glam, or somewhere in between, you've probably seen Thrive Cosmetics Viral Tubing Mascara. I've certainly seen it everywhere. You know the one in the turquoise tube? So that mascara, along with all of Thrive Cosmetics' beauty products, are certified 100% vegan and cruelty-free, which I look for in makeup, and they've got excellent quality to match. And something I didn't know from all the mascara videos I've seen is that for every product sold, Thrive Cosmetics donates either that same product, another product that is needed more, or a monetary donation. They've worked with over 500 nonprofits to help with a wide range of causes like supporting cancer survivors, people experiencing homelessness, education access, and so much more. Knowing that makes me feel even better about using their products. And I do enjoy using them. Like I said, I like having high quality staples, and so my favorites are products that are multi-purpose, like the Brilliant Eye Brightener. It comes in a bunch of colors, and I like using them as eyeliner, eyeshadow, and even highlighter. Thrive Cosmetics is luxury beauty that gives back. Right now, you can get an exclusive 20% off your first order at thrivecosmetics.com/thrive. That's Thrive Cosmetics, CAUSEMETICS.com/thrive for 20% off your first order.
Welcome to I'm Listening. This is a Frasier fan podcast. Believe it or not, there's more than one, but I'm not going to plug any other Frasier fan podcasts, just this one. I am your host, Anita Flores, and each episode we always have a special guest, and we have one today. He is a comedian, he is a writer, he is a tweeter, if that's what you call people that tweet, and he's here, right here in the studio in Brooklyn. Please welcome Patrick Monahan to the studio.
Hey, what's going on? You were not kidding about having a Frasier voice when you start.
That's right, you have
a very, it's like a... like an NPR-ish, you know, like talk radio, like needs to be soothing type, you know, tone that you take on, which is good.
Yeah, it's not...
it's a commitment to the bit.
It's not on purpose. It just happens.
You're channeling.
A while ago, I interviewed Bill Burr, and I remember after the interview, he said you have a voice for radio, and I think I heard it as face, and I thought he was calling me ugly, but I think he was giving me a compliment. So, yes, I invited Patrick to the podcast because, Patrick, I think that you also are a Frasier fan. Am I correct?
That is true. You got me.
So before I start grilling you on your Frasier knowledge, you've got about 110,000 followers on Twitter. So here's my question to you. I, speaking as a person who would be happy if she got to 900 this year, was there like a number you got to that you were like, wow, 2,000 followers, this is so exciting for me? Or is it like with each new thousand, you're like, I need more, I want more followers? Or do you not even care?
Let's see. I have to be honest, so I'm not going to say I don't care, because that's why anyone is doing that website. Mm-hmm. You can't pretend that it's any other reason. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know. I it's weird to think about, because I don't know, like, people have asked me, like, how did you grow your thing or whatever? And I don't have an answer. There's people who like would try to trade on like social media for like a job, you know, like a strategy for how to get bigger at something. I don't have any idea. I just was annoying to the right people, I guess. And that was it. I have no idea beyond that. But no, I mean, it's pretty nuts. It's funny. It's like more people than live in my hometown. which is, I guess, not that small hometown. So probably, it's probably a lot more now that I think about it. But
where are you from?
I grew up in Connecticut.
Me too.
Oh, really?
Where in Connecticut?
Fairfield, Southport.
Fancy part. I'm from West Hartford, Connecticut.
Okay. I think my ex from college lives in West Hartford now.
Yeah.
So that's something.
Well, I think the only person I can claim to fame is Mike Schur, creator of Parks and Rec.
That's pretty good.
Who is from West Hartford. He went to the rival school of ours, which was Conard.
What was yours?
Mine was Hall High School. Public school, baby. Mm-hmm. And so then when I started watching Parks and Rec, of course, I was like looking up as many fun facts as I could. Apparently, did you watch Parks and Rec?
I did.
So the town of, what was the fancy town next door?
Eagleton.
Eagleton is based on Simsbury.
Okay.
Apparently.
Which I can see that. That has a very Connecticut vibe.
Oh, actually, for sure. For sure. It bums me out that I personally, when people often, if you're not from Connecticut, you tell people if you're from Connecticut, I'm sure you deal with this often, as I just did it to you. When I hear Fairfield, I'm like, ooh, Martha Stewart had a house there. But when anyone hears Connecticut, they're like, ooh, she's rich. I'm like, no.
Yeah.
I wasn't rich. You had to take the bus. You can't take Metro North to where I live. But yes, I've brought you here today because I love to connect with other craniacs, which I can't coin that term. Josh Gondelman did this podcast a few weeks ago, and he said, I'm a craniac.
Uh-huh.
So we're craniacs.
Okay, that's good.
I believe. So I'm curious, how did you get into Frasier? How did it start for you?
I mean, I watched it when it was on, definitely. My parents, we used to go up and like sit, my sister and I would sit on the floor in front of the TV in their bedroom. And there was like a chair my dad had that was like a, not like Martin's chair, but it was like a sort of 80s inspired, like they still have actually, because they moved out of the house I grew up in. They're in a condo now, but it's like a rotating chair, like a 360 rotating chair. But so you had that, and my mom would sit either on the bed or I guess on the couch. I don't know where I'm trying to remember where she was, but anyway. So we did watch it as a family when it was on. I sort of lost track, I guess, when I went to college-ish.
Maybe. That's good. You were partying.
Yeah. so I missed the end, like the last couple seasons. I know it ran until what? Like it ran
2004. No, that's got to be wrong. I know it was on for 11 years.
It was definitely on into the 2000s.
Yeah.
And I definitely stopped, I guess, before then.
Sure,
sure. Mm-hmm. So I got back into it, I guess, just probably like many people that you, it's just like a thing that showed up on Netflix, I guess, probably. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, oh, yeah, okay. And it's just like same with Cheers. Like I did Cheers a few years ago where I just like would put it on constantly and just leave it in the background because it's not like a edge of your seat riveting, like what's going to happen show. It's just like a hangout show. And Frasier is not quite the same because Frasier is so farce heavy that you have to kind of be paying attention to know where the farce is happening. You know, like you have to know why things are zany, sort of. Like you have to know what the misunderstanding is, I guess, in a way that Cheers maybe doesn't do as much. But same thing. It's just it's super available. It's very calming. I think there is a sort of thing about it, not to like overanalyze. I did this this guy who I know from online asked me to do I-24, which is like this Israeli news station, I guess. They have like a, and they had, when John Mahoney died, they had me on to talk about why millennials like Frasier, which I think is.
Is that what I saw you on? Because I thought because I follow you on Twitter, and I thought I saw that you were on the news.
So that was, I was in the studio talking about Frasier for like 2 minutes. It was a very surreal thing.
That is surreal. In New York?
Yeah. People got mad at me because they were like, oh, I guess you don't believe in BDS. It's like, I'm talking about Frasier on the news, like Israeli, like boycott, divest, sanctions, like about like Palestine and stuff. And it's like, this does not have to be political. I didn't make any money from this. Like they paid for my cab, I guess, to like the bar after. That's about it. Like there was no like, you know, this is not really raising my profile. I didn't make them any money. I literally just talked about Frasier for 90 seconds and that was it. And sounded like an idiot probably. But
that's not enough time.
I think there is a thing where it's like they're successful and that's like comforting, like everybody in the show is like wealthy and that's a thing that a lot of young people don't think is going to happen anymore for them, sort of like owning a big condo and like being a, you know, like
a radio host
and being like a just like a not seeming to ever be at work, like
sure,
you know, type rich person, which I don't think is really a, not that it was ever a goal per se, but it just feels like there's a there's an ease to their lives that because they didn't grow up with money, because even though they both are fancy weirdos like Niles and Frasier, they son of a cop. Like it's not like a so I don't know. It seems like there's something about like, I mean, that apartment is insane. Have you seen like the, layouts like of his apartment? Like there's somebody did like a schematic, like where they tried to like,
they did them
for like Friends and Seinfeld, I think. And they did one for Frasier. And it's like this insanely huge apartment. It's like unbelievable. There's like three bedrooms in it. It's like obscene.
It's interesting because I, you know, I have rewatched that show many, many times, especially now that it's, you know, it's on Netflix. And I just rewatched this episode where Frasier gets a butler, and it's Victor Garber from, well, I know him from Titanic.
That's what I was going to say, too. And he was in like Alias and Legally Blonde,
Yes, for sure. And so he plays a butler, and I was trying to figure out why this episode is so ridiculous to me, and then I just started like Instagram storing the whole thing, and I was like, oh, it's because he has a butler for his apartment. And then I realized, I mean, it's pretty big, but like, does anyone in real life have a butler in general? A, does anyone have a butler? And B, would you ever have one for an apartment?
Right. Like he has an apartment that's so big that like if somebody, like if you walk in and someone is home and they, hey, you wouldn't necessarily know where they are in the apartment.
Sure.
Like no one I know in New York has a place like that where you walk in, you could probably see them depending on no matter where they are almost, right? Unless there's a door closed.
Well, you know what? Who's got an even bigger apartment is condo? Niles. Where he lives, there are multiple jokes made about how big it is, including at one point, like Martin gets lost going on an errand somewhere in the apartment and is like using this the comm system, and he's like, I don't know what room I'm in. And then Niles is like, you're in the gift wrapping room.
So this is where when he moves into the Dakota type place. Mm-hmm. I forget the name. I think it's called the Dakota now. Well, it's not the Dakota's like the that's where
oops,
like
that's where John Lennon was killed.
Correct.
Okay. Oops, my bad. So fun fact.
But it's clearly meant to be whatever it's called. It's like the Montana or something like that. It's clearly
the
like
Montana.
It
is the Montana because there's an episode called Taps of the Montana.
There it is.
Which is on my list. That will get to. Do you have a favorite character or a character that you like closely relate to?
I think. Well, before I sort of had the self introspection that I have now about myself, about like interrogating behavior, like. I think I would have identified with Niles because, like, the whole, like, Daphne thing was very sort of affecting.
Of course.
But he's kind of a creep.
Yeah.
Like, it kind of, watching it again, it's like, this is not really something to, I mean, like, she comes around and, like, you know, like, first of all, it's not creepy to her because she literally doesn't even notice it for the first, like, however many seasons, right? So it's, like, not, it's not, like, harmful to her in the sense that, like, you know, like, it doesn't affect her job. It doesn't affect her at all. She doesn't even know what's happening. But he is like kind of a lech and like a weirdo, and he's married and shouldn't be behaving like that, obviously. But yeah, that's what I would have said. You know, like, oh, he gets the girl, like it's a whole thing. But like, it is kind of like, it's not really, you know. And he's like, he's debatably, even though the relationship is never presented that way, and they sort of beg off that. There are like weird employment disputes with Frasier early on, you know, where like she wants time off or she wants to like, you know, her room is like her private space and all that kind of stuff.
Yes.
And those are kind of weird because like then there's a dynamic that like that dynamic kind of goes away. She just becomes like part of the gang sort of.
Less servant-y.
Yeah. But it is, I guess, and it makes sense that they have to like, that stuff has to, I guess, be kind of dealt with, but they do kind of like drop the formalities. But the idea of like Niles asking her out, even if he was not married or whatever, is like, well, you're my boss's brother. Like, what am I don't live here.
What if it doesn't work out?
She's not even legal, I don't think, right? Because there's that episode where they go to Canada and she like can't, they're worried she's not going to be able to get back in.
Right, the green card thing.
So there's a whole like, there's a whole lot of bundle of issues there that I never really thought about. So Niles is kind of not as my favorite based on that. I think I just like Frasier because I think I like, I find the whole like thinking you're smarter than everybody and just having the piss constantly taken out of you. I think that's very funny. And I think that is something that it happens to me a lot, I'm sure. And I think I appreciate it. And I think it's, I don't know. I think that's, he's one of those dudes who thinks he's smarter than everyone else and thinks no one notices what he's doing. And he always gets kind of found out. And I think that's something I identify with, I guess. I don't know.
I would say he often comes off as looking like a fool.
Yes.
I would say.
A buffoon, even.
A buffoon, yeah. I mean, for me, Like, I did watch it when it was on growing up. I didn't have cable, so I definitely had limited options, which is probably why, like, I'd like to say I had a refined ahead of my time taste as a, you know, 5 through whatever year old. But in reality, you know, I was watching Wings because I didn't have cable. So
Hey, Wings was good.
Yeah, I don't really remember it because I only watched it when I was a kid.
Yeah.
But yeah, with Frasier, the weird part now is, I mean, to me, it's a fantasy show. And when I was younger, the Daphne, I still love the Daphne Nile storyline. But then when I take it out and put it into real life, it is very weird because I rarely, or I don't know if I ever have met anyone in real life where it just worked out. Like, as in, just finding out that this person likes you is enough for you to go, I like them too.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Which doesn't...
Usually the timing is messed up somehow.
Or they don't like you.
Or they just don't like you. Yeah.
I'm definitely... I've been like saving, and I know that I will do at least two episodes on Daphne and Niles. But there's just going to be so much to uncover. Yeah.
Can I actually revise my answer? I'm a big Roz head. I was not as big a, because she, I don't know, I guess like she's got kind of sidelined for me in my memory, but I think her whole, they're also really mean to her in a way that is like.
They slut shame her a lot for just like having a personal life.
Which I did not recall. Of course not. But look, I mean, she fucks for sure. Like, you know, there's no bones about it. One of the episodes, she had a kid, mm-hmm. one of the ones that we're probably going to talk about. And there's like no discussion of who the dad is or anything. It's just kind of like she just like, you know, I don't know. I like Roz because I think she's first of all, she's when she gets like a good line off, they're usually like the best line of the episode. It doesn't happen that often, but mm-hmm. when they write something for her, it's usually very funny. And yeah, I just like that she's, I don't know, like unapologetically whatever she is. I don't know. I'm a big Roz fan.
I love Roz, and I would say I get bits of Dorothy Spornak from The Golden Girls and some Cynthia, I forgot her name. Oh, Miranda. I get some little bits of Miranda from her character from Sex and the City.
Yeah.
Hey, I may have referenced shows that you don't watch, but that's okay.
I'm aware of Sex and the City. I've watched like 2 episodes of my life.
It might be too late.
I would vote for Perry Gilpin for governor. That's fine.
Perry Gilpin, also a great name.
She has good social media presence.
Yes, I've been following her more recently. hey, Perry, if you're listening, would love to get you on
here. She was great on Broad City.
Yes, I did see her on Broad City. I don't think realistically there's anyone I might get from Frasier except maybe her is like my hope. I don't know where David Hyde Pierce is. I know supposedly he's in New York. He's acting. He's, you know, on the stage. But I do not believe he's on social media. And I've already decided I wouldn't want Kelsey Grammer here, but I'd love to get Frasier the character. So if he just wants the same character, let's talk.
Why wouldn't you want Kelsey Grammer here? Politics?
Yeah, you know, politics.
He seems a little self-serious, right?
Yeah, he's also...
He wrote that book about, like, where he, like, had, like, a extended feud with the dog in the book, Eddie.
I've heard about this book. I need to read it. I would like to. He's had a very rough life. And I will say that on the first episode, I had Mae Wilkerson here, who's a comedian, and we went through his Wikipedia page.
Multiple murders. Crazy.
And I, you know, I called the segment Tragic Frasier Facts, and I looked at the comments that we got on iTunes, and the first one was from a Frasier fan that heard the top of it was, "These women are nightmares," and then went on to say that we were being insensitive about Kelsey Grammer's life. And
see, if you've somebody who's a big enough Kelsey Grammer fan, maybe not even a Frasier fan, just a Kelsey Grammer fan, that they track down Kelsey Grammer related things and comment negatively on them.
Apparently. I mean, I will say I had one very riveting moment in my life where he tweeted back at me, which was very exciting. And in retrospect, I'm sure he has like an intern that runs his social media because he's almost never there. But I think like 3 years ago, I tweeted at him and I said, "My friends and I want to be like characters from Frasier for Halloween. Like, what accessories do we need?" or something. And then he tweeted back, he said, "Only one thing comes to mind, ... Sherry." He did say that, which was pretty incredible.
That's pretty good. I can't think of her. I was going to say, he was probably promoting The Last Tycoon. I feel like he did social media. It was very much like somebody told me how to do it.
For sure.
And then he just like stopped whenever it like was no longer needed, right?
Exactly. Like he was tweeting when he had a very short-lived show with Martin Lawrence called Partners.
Oh, yeah, that too, right?
Yes, where they're just, you know, a ragtag of their lawyers.
Yes.
Yeah, that didn't last.
Was Martin Lawrence all? I did not watch the show. Was he also a lawyer?
Yeah.
I guess so,
I'm
right?
Sure that, I'm guess I saw the trailer. It was called Partners, so I'm guessing.
It's kind of weird that you would have like ones like a stuffy, like a stuffy fancy guy, which I assume because Kelsey Grammer can't play anything else.
Yeah.
And the other one, Martin Lawrence is like what, like a ragtag lawyer, I guess? Like what is that? Like what is he, like an ambulance chief? I'm curious. Now I'm going to look it up and find out.
I'd be curious if you could find an episode anywhere. And if you do, please let me know.
He I will say he played against type in a way that I appreciated on in Transformers.
Oh, I've never seen any of those films. Like, did he play one of the robots?
One of the fourth. I think it's the fourth one. He played like the head of like the NSA, basically, and he was like the bad guy.
I could see that.
And he's like, there's a shot of him like with a gun, pointing a gun at like, I think it's like Shia LaBeouf or whoever the main guy is at that point.
Mm-hmm.
And then like the Transformer, one of the Transformers like kills him or whatever.
I thought he was great in X-Men. Pretty
good cash in.
Loved him in X-Men.
He was good. Yeah, his Beast was good.
Loved when he played himself on 30 Rock.
Also good. Very good.
It was fantastic. Yes. So you know what, Kelsey? I'll think about it if you're listening.
I think he would be an okay guest.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, right. First of all, like auditor, it's like ASMR at that point, right? Like you just have him talking.
Sure, exactly. And actually, when you were talking about how it's a little bit too distracting before bed, for me, I would disagree just because it's easier for me to watch shows that I've seen a bajillion times because I'm no longer invested because I know what the plot is.
Okay.
At a certain point, it just becomes relaxing.
Yeah.
So, and he also has like a very relaxing voice and just like nothing too crazy ever happens. And it's not like at one point I fell asleep watching Law and Order SVU, but then I started to have nightmares because
internalizing what happens.
Don't watch sex crime shows before bed. That should just be a rule.
It's a pretty good rule.
Yeah. So I brought you here today because I was thinking about dinner parties. I thought, what happens a lot on the show Frasier? Dinner parties happen a lot on the show Frasier. Do you go to dinner parties ever?
I can't remember the last dinner party I went to. That says a lot about me, I guess.
That's fine. I think I never go to dinner parties because I don't know who has them. I feel like maybe when I get older, perhaps enter into a new bracket of money.
Sure.
And make some new, very wealthy friends. That's who I assume has dinner parties. Because, you know, like for me, I'm always agonizing before I even go anywhere where there's people bringing things. I'm like, what is the cheapest thing I can bring?
Right.
Am I going to bring a pint of Ben and Jerry's? No, because that's like $6 at a bodega. So, you know, I'm...
Just bring a bottle of Dre or something, right, at that point.
Oh, Andre?
Yeah.
Wow, I've never heard it called Dre. Andre, I want to bring it, but I feel like I'm now out of the age where it's appropriate.
Yeah. That's probably fair.
So, but yes, I think what's great about dinner party episodes of Frasier is that they feel almost mathematical in terms of like everything that goes wrong.
Right.
From the very beginning. And then you just see how things start to just fall apart. So I collected a bunch of episodes that revolve around dinner parties and I want to count them down. And I, seeing as you are a Frasier fan, would you say you did eventually watch every episode?
I would say I'm kind of weak on the last, like I said, 3 or 4 seasons. I'm actually kind of going through. I want to say I'm like midway through season 5 right now, just like kind of just putting it on kind of idly. I randomly ended up on a Trailer Park Boys kick.
I love Trailer Park Boys.
So I'm doing that
love
as like my default, but I will go back to Frasier, no doubt, within some period of time. It's easy to forget how many Trailer Park Boys episodes there are. It's 12 seasons now.
Well, there's new ones coming out, so I can't keep up.
Apparently they have a tribute to Mr. Leahy because the actor who played Leahy died.
No! Wait, when?
After they filmed the season, but before it came out. Like last year sometime. Earlier this year.
I had no idea.
Yeah.
That's very sad.
So they have like apparently a genuinely tear-jerking like thing at the end of the season or something like that, so... but I started at the beginning just randomly like one day this week and I've been like, I'm like through like 3 seasons now because it's just like, it's similarly, it's just like endlessly rewatchable. It doesn't really matter. Like the stakes are not, you know, there's not a whole lot of, but anyway, I digress. I would say I've seen probably every episode up until You said 11 seasons, so I guess through like season 8, I would say confidently I've seen every episode, but beyond that, it's hard to say for sure.
So I'm actually glad you said that. I am the same way. I have seen the full I have seen the full series, but after Niles and Daphne get together, I think after,
it's kind of weird, right?
Yeah, and after a certain point, it was like that was part of the draw, and where a lot of personally a lot of the comedy came from, and so after that, I was kind of like, meh.
I mean, that's sitcoms, though, right? They trade on that, and then like The Office, what you pick your thing, like
yeah,
are they gonna get together? And they do, and it's like they don't know what to do. They like, can't break them up because that makes everyone mad.
Exactly.
Like sitcoms are not supposed to be actually about conflict, so you can't really have like a thing where like they break up and that's it because like. Audiences watch them to be happy, so like that's what they got, what they wanted, but they also yeah, when there's no tension, you don't know what to do. So I also think it's weird when it's like as you get later in the show, and especially obviously in those last few seasons, like it looks more modern, like it's because you can tell like the equipment is better,
and that's too much,
and it looks weird, like it's too like it like I would be upset if it was like HD, like if it was like a, because you know it's like the when you're everyone has like a rectangular TV now, but like
sure.
You know, if like when you see so you have the square, you have the letterboxing, like if it ever got to a point where it was like the full thing was covered, I would be like very upset. It would not be okay.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's part of my issue with like, okay, do you watch Curb Your Enthusiasm?
I do.
So I've only seen the first episode of the newest season that came out, but I was immediately kind of a little bit turned off to it because of how more like cinematic it looked.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
like the opening shot of that episode is like a drone shot, like going straight into his house, into the shower. And it was weird. Like it's not even something I thought about until you brought it up, but like, you know, Curb from season one or two is like, you know, peak for me and yeah. Like kind of shitty.
Right. That's part of the appeal
visually. So,
but it feels like when you're watching the old Frasier, it feels like, for me, it feels like childhood because it's like I was like 11 when it started or whatever, you know, it came out like 94 or whatever it was. Like, it feels like something that I remember from that, and it looks like something I remember from that. But yeah, when you get to like the older, you know, the later seasons, it's like, yeah, it looks too good. I don't know. So that is part of it for me, I think.
Then people get older.
Yeah. Which well, you can't have that.
It's annoying.
Hard pass.
Well, the weird thing I remember when, oh man, the first episode of this podcast that I have, when I launched the first episode, it was the morning, and then at night, John Mahoney passed away.
Oh, man.
The same day. And I was like, somehow felt responsible. And my first guest was Mae Wilkerson.
You heard about the podcast.
Yeah, exactly. Like I texted her and I was like, did I do this? She was like, no, he just died. But I was really shocked to realize how young like he was on the show.
Yeah.
Like I was trying to do math and I'm pretty sure in real life, like age wise, like he and Kelsey Grammer, you know, maybe 20 something years apart.
Maybe less. I remember. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, and so he was like in his 60s on the show and I'm like, my dad's the same age.
Yeah.
Why does he look so old?
I'm not 40. I don't have any divorces. I don't have a child. Yeah. It is strange.
I will say something weird that started to happen since I turned 30 is now like I have definitely rewatched Friends a lot. And so now I've hit this point where they are now younger. Like when, you know, at a certain point they all turn 30 in the show and it's just very depressing. And so I still have Frasier. They're still older than us.
Yeah.
But, you know.
Well, older than you.
Older than. Oh, okay.
I mean, I'm going to be 35. I don't know. I don't know how old they are when it starts.
Right. I don't either. But I know that I'm on season three. I think I'm on season 3 right now. And I think Niles says that he's 38.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So that's I know. Good. It's there's still time. I feel like at a certain point, if I'm still watching Frasier in, you know, 7 years, I'm going to start being like, what have I done? You know, and then comparing myself to fictional characters.
Yeah, healthy.
So let's start this. Let's start this countdown. So one of my favorite party episodes is called Halloween. This is season 5, episode 3. Is Roz pregnant? Which you did bring up. This is the episode.
Sorry. Spoilers for everybody.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, it's your fault. I would be very surprised if anyone is listening to this that has not seen Frasier. Though,
oh, come on.
I took it as a huge compliment. This girl that I babysat for, who was like 12, I told her I had a podcast. I was like, it's about Frasier. And I was like, do you know what Frasier is? She was like, no. And then her mom told me she was listening to it. And I was like, oh my God, she was listening to it. So Okay. Maybe we have some 12-year-olds listening.
There you go. Okay.
Which I'm okay with.
I'm sorry for swearing before.
No, that's fine.
Don't do that in front of your mom.
Yeah. There is no swearing at 12, I guess. Yeah. So in the Halloween episode, Roz finds out she might be pregnant. So then Niles has a Halloween party. And do you remember this episode?
I do. I don't. I watched it. Like I said, I'm kind of in between back and forth. This wasn't on the list that we discussed in advance.
That's okay.
So I didn't watch it this past week.
I wouldn't expect you to. But I can fill you in on some things.
Yeah.
So here's some fun facts about this episode. So in the episode, at this party that Niles has, which I am calling a dinner party because it was people were only allowed to dress up as literary characters. So I forgot who Frasier's supposed to be. Niles has a big fake nose. The only person I know, Bulldog showed up as Waldo from Where's Waldo.
Yep.
Martin showed up as Sherlock, and Roz showed up as O from O. And then the ongoing joke is she goes, "I'm O," and everyone goes, "Oh." Hilarious. But so Frasier's third wife, Camille Grammer, was in that episode. She's the one that he flirts with, and she's dressed, I think, as Eve from Adam and Eve. Like, she's naked, and she has the hair, and he's flirting with her all night.
Right, I assume they were already dating at that point or something?
I don't know. That is a good question. I'm not sure.
Wasn't she on The Grind or something? Isn't that where she, like, got started or something weird? She was on, like, that MTV Spring Break, The Grind, like, that show where, like, there was just, like, they play music and people would just be dancing in like the club, and that was like the show.
You know, all I know her from, which is it's from a show I didn't watch, which was post Kelsey Grammer or post Frasier, was a Real Housewives.
Right. No, I know. Yeah, that I know. But it's like
she have to start somewhere.
She came from somewhere, right? Like there was some, like, you know, you don't just like become a. I think that's what it was. I think she was like one of those like grind like hosts or whatever, but. It's very funny because you go from, like, not that, I mean, I think Kelsey Grammer is probably a smart guy, but he's not, like, obviously he's an actor. He's not, you know, a psychiatrist. He's not, like, a classically educated guy or whatever, right?
I don't think so.
But because of the way he is and because of what he's played his entire career, basically, you sort of impute those things to him. So it's very funny to think of, like, him dating, like, what, you know, he would probably think in the abstract of as, like, a bimbo.
Yes.
Right?
Absolutely.
Not to say that Camille Grammer or whatever she goes by now, Camille, whatever her last name is, like, not that she's not smart or whatever, but, like, it is, like, a very, like, you know, and her playing the naked, like, her being naked in the show is very, like, oh, okay, yeah, because, like, this idea of, like, this fancy guy who wants to meet whoever. And that's the other thing about Frasier, to me, that's crazy, is that, like, it's kind of like Seinfeld where – he is constantly having, like, these gorgeous women are throwing themselves at him, which I think is just completely ridiculous, right?
Completely ridiculous.
Because, like, first of all, how much money could he possibly make as a like, radio psychiatrist? In a non-major market. Like, is he syndicated around the country?
No,
it's not
that's
even
like
clear,
his
right?
Dream.
Right. There's the episode where they have where they're at the beach house, right? And he's trying to, like, get in with the woman who, like, can syndicate his show or whatever.
Yes.
He's between gigs. But There's no indication he's anywhere bigger than Seattle. And so this idea that, like, women are like, oh, man, I got to get with.
And there's been at least, I would say, 3 storylines around him dating a model, which is so funny to me. And I would say the one that was, like, probably the closest to reality was, like, he meets a model on a plane, but she just got out of a relationship with, like, a hockey player or something. And she's like, please keep this to yourself. And then his family thinks that he's lying and he made her up. That, I was like,
that's a good bit.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yes, I buy it. But yeah, no, there have been.
I mean, Niles is rich, but Niles is rich because Maris is rich.
Exactly. Yes. Oh, you know what? Actually, I should just ask everyone this forever. But if Maris were ever played by an actress, living, dead, from the era that they were popular in now, is there any actress that comes to mind?
Huh.
I can tell you my pick if this inspires you. It's Lara Flynn Boyle. Circa, like, had just started dating Jack Nicholson. Like,
yeah.
Peak, you know.
Black hair.
Yeah.
Like, not Wayne's World, Lara Flynn Boyle.
I don't know if I've seen it, that movie.
She's like the, hi, Wayne, hi. She's like the crazy ex-girlfriend.
Okay. Well,
but she looks very, like, all American. Like, she has, like, brown hair and freckles and shit. Like,
sure. Peak thinness, because
right.
She was frightened.
Like, Men in Black 2.
Sure. Yes. Very thin. And so, yes, that's my pick for Maris.
I think she's too pretty.
Oh, okay. So you're thinking.
I'm just trying to think of all the Maris things. It's the things. Obviously, I'm sure eventually these things start to conflict, and you don't have like a real.
Sure, Maris is thin and pale. Right. That's like the number
Basically translucent.
Translucent.
She's like terrified of disease.
Yes.
I don't get the impression that she's an attractive woman. That's okay. Just not. I don't know. That may be unfair, but.
Uh-oh, I feel like we're setting somebody wanna, up. Yeah,
no, that's the thing. I don't, this is not meant to be, yeah. I don't know if I have a person because I guess, maybe
it's a good thing.
Yeah.
I think that's the point.
I think in my head when I was young, because I didn't have like the imagination required to like conjure up a person, I think I just sort of had Lilith as like a stand-in for her for some reason. Like I just kind of picture her looking like Lilith, but also being like a little bit weirder than Lilith.
I mean, there's definitely jokes about Maris and Lilith both sharing similar qualities of being like cold, pale. Those are like probably the top two.
But I don't know. But Bebe Neuwirth is not any of those other things. No. But I maybe what is her name? The one from The Shining. The actress from The Shining?
Shelley something?
Shelley Duvall?
Sure, that sounds right. Yeah, I could see that.
Like, she played Olive Oil. Like, she's, like, preternaturally, in, like, that pot, in that weird Popeye with Robin Williams. Like, she is, like, preternaturally sort of, like, looks like a cartoon character, like, skinny and kind of, like, weird looking, sort of. So maybe that's who I would pick. But I'm glad they never found a person.
Ooh, what about Tilda Swinton?
You get into kind of stunt casting after a certain point, right? Where you're like, well, what if it was Michael Clark Duncan? No, rest in peace. I feel like if it was a show that was on now, there would be pressure to like cast a person to do it. And it would be like a whole like a Twitter moment. It would be like,
yeah, you're probably right.
You know, so-and-so is playing Maris and, you know, the internet loves it. I think it's good that they actually like didn't.
It's good.
It's fun to have like a character that's a MacGuffin. Where there's no need for a payoff. It's just like a constant. It's like a constant thing you can just kind of bag on and not have to really talk about it and write jokes about.
No, it makes her mythical.
Yes.
So it's fun. All right. So let's. I'm gonna.
Halloween was the last one.
So Halloween was the last one. So my next pick is The Seal Who Came to Dinner.
This is the one we were just talking about.
Yes. Season 6, episode 8. So Niles has the gourmet club over.
Yeah.
At.
I love how that's the thing about these dinner party episodes is that. They are weirdly higher stakes than the rest of the show because there's always something that they have to impress some person.
Right, there's a goal.
It's such a, and I love it. It's such classic.
It's classicism. Farce,
just like, but it's just such like a, oh no, so and so is coming to dinner. Everything has to be perfect, and then like the guy running out and like there was like smoke in the kitchen, but don't worry about it. Like whoa, whoa, whoa. And then with the seal that came down, there was like the dead seal wrapped up in the robe.
Yes,
that they keep trying to hide, and they won't let anyone go outside to see the meteor shower.
Yes, and keep in mind, so you thought Gourmet Club sounded pretentious, so he was hosting the annual Golden Apron Awards.
Yes,
apparently.
And there's that one guy that he like zings.
I, by the way, copy pasted this description from IMDb. So it's when Niles' Gourmet Club has its annual Golden Apron Awards. Niles decides to throw a dinner party in hopes of obtaining the illustrious apron.
Yep.
Which is insane.
He at one point they're very good at depicting these sort of frosty politeness that rich people all have with each other, where they don't actually come out and like hate each other, but they like do those little weird passive aggressive things
and quietly torture each other.
But he does like do something closer to that with one of the, there's like some nerdy guy who's there and he's like, I'm allergic to bivalves. A good host would know that or something like that. And he goes, I've been very busy. I should have paid more attention to your shellfish needs. And the guy's like, I got that. And like, that was the closest I've seen to like, that's effectively coming to blows for these kind of people.
Exactly. Yes. It's very subtle, which I appreciate.
Like, have you seen them where they try to get into the social club and they have to go like schmooze and they somehow like fuck up or like they're pretending. Sorry about swearing. Good.
It's okay. It's fine. I don't think she's listening anymore.
Niles and Fraser are pretending to be each other or something. I forget what something happens where like they're not themselves, but they have to pretend, but they get in and they have to, I forget.
I think
Niles gets in, but it's because they thought Fraser was Niles.
Yes. You know, I think I know what you're talking about, but the funniest part of what you're saying is that there have been multiple
plots like that. Exactly.
So what I think you're talking about is when they do try to get into some kind of social club and then only one of them gets in.
Yes.
but they confuse them. So then they ask Frasier to join the club, but they actually wanted Niles.
And Frasier turns it down to be a good friend, but in fact, and he never really wanted it anyway. He kind of
no, they were just competing with each other.
Yeah, and then that's
they come to the club.
That's perfect.
They both come there to confront like the president.
Well, I don't need your fancy. And then it's like, oh, actually,
both touch the leather chairs and they can't get over it.
Right.
And they're like, I felt a baby's bottom is harder than this, or no pudding. I don't remember.
Where do they get this? That's like, there's no interrogation of where they became like this because it's clear there was nothing like that. Like, first of all, like. The assumption I assume for Martin when they were growing up is like, I just have two gay sons, right? Because there's no, like that's like the first, they're both not. They're both like insanely horny and like, you know, whatever. But like, they're so effete and fey that if they were like this when they were kids, it would be like, what the hell is going on? Like, who are these people that I raised?
They did have flashbacks to them being kids. And in like some earlier seasons, I think they use those same actors in later seasons. But they're pretty much the same.
Yeah.
Like it's like them in prep school together but doing like the same accents as little kids.
I know it's like a fish out of water thing or whatever, and it's Malik Martin's like the vehicle for the audience to be like, these guys are ridiculous, but it's like what was the mom like, you know what I mean? Like there's no sense that the mom's any other than the salt of the earth, right?
The mom,
like,
this is my only knowledge of the mom, because I did watch one episode. I have not watched a lot of Cheers, mm-hmm. but I did watch an episode of Cheers where you meet, and you've seen Cheers.
Yeah, yeah.
There's an episode where you meet his mother, and it's when he introduces her to his then fiance, Diane.
Is that canon though? Do we think? I guess Diane.
It was nuts. The whole thing is that his mother is threatening to kill her through the episode, and going, if you don't stop dating Frasier, I will kill you, because she thinks that he's too good for
right.
Diane.
Monster-in-law.
So like, I guess that's something. Like there's some, you know, there's some indication maybe. But you're right. It's definitely it's weird, because it's hard to tell why they're like two aliens. Or like, for me, the way I describe Frasier and Niles, it's as if they were taken out of like an old film, like from the 40s or 50s, talking in that weird almost British accent, and then we're like transported to this present time, and I don't know where they came
from. It's true. They talk like how they do in old movies, like you said, like it's like they're like almost singing.
Yeah.
You can watch like everything was a musical and then things stopped being musicals, but they still kind of like sing talk for like, there's like that weird like 10-year period, like they're in. And that's, I actually can't stand old movies because I hate that. I find it to be very, I can't like get into anything that's like that because it's just too.
Wow. What would you do if you, and I don't know if you've encountered this yet, have you ever met anyone that talks like that in real life?
I can't say that I have.
I wonder if you would, I don't know if you're a confrontational person.
It would probably stress me out, I would say. I feel like that's like a cousin to the kind of person who will act like they don't know anyone's paying attention, but then will like sing to themselves, but do like a really good job singing to like sort of, or like sing along to music on the radio or whatever, but like do like a good job where it's like, we get it, you've had singing lessons, or you know what I mean? Like somebody like,
sure.
I feel like those are sort of similar like strains of personality disorder.
I mean, chances are this was just a bit of a nut person that I saw in the subway, but there was a guy sitting diagonal from me probably last year, and I thought he was on the phone and he was talking very loudly, but he wasn't. And as soon as I realized he was talking to himself, we made eye contact, and he stood up and pointed at me and yelled, he went, if you must know, I'm practicing a monologue. And then he spent the rest of the train ride being like, I don't like when people stare at me. And like, it was crazy. So
cool.
I feel like I met a crazy version of Frasier, but
he's
on the train.
He's going to be a star.
Sure. Yeah, definitely. I mean, if anything, I just learned once again, never to look at anyone in New York in the eye.
Actually, I not a thing, but I do. A guy, one of my old jobs was like that. It was a law firm. He was a fellow like intern when I was an intern, and he ended up staying there after the whole economy blew up, or whatever. But he ended up keeping his job. But he would buy a boutonniere every day on his way to the office and wear a suit, even though he didn't have to wear a suit.
What's a boutonniere?
Like a flower. He'd like, buy a flower to pin to like his lapel.
Oh.
He just had like a very sort of weird like I think it was like an affectation. He obviously, like, he's one of those dudes where it's like, I want to know what this guy's like when he's alone, like when he's in his apartment by himself. You know what I mean? Because is he like this all the time? Is he sitting around in a suit at home, or is he like getting home, microwaving like some like gross food and like watching, you know, whatever, like
and
garbage on TV?
To classical music.
Right. Like that's, I want to know how far the bit goes. And there are people who are like that too. There's like comedians that are like that too, where it's like, what are you like when you're not in front of people? Because I think that's like an interesting thing to think about. Anyway, this guy was kind of like that. And it's like, we got his backstory a little bit, and he went to like fancy schools. He was from like the Midwest somewhere. And it's like, but he wasn't like, he's not some like millionaire or billionaire scion. He's, you know, he's just like some dude. And so it's like, when did he adopt this thing? And it's so ingrained now, he's never going to lose it. But like, yeah, so I guess it is kind of like the Niles Frazier thing a little bit.
Well, actually, now I'm okay, this is me just making decisions here about how they became who they are. Mm-hmm. But they do make reference to the fact that they really liked the original show, The Avengers. And I haven't seen it, but I believe it's about British people.
Yes.
So maybe, and granted it's...
They made a terrible movie about it.
It's pretty, yeah, with Uma Thurman. I haven't seen it, but I've heard of it. Maybe it's far-fetched because of the way they are, but maybe I'm just going to pretend that they watched a lot of TV and then they were like, I want to be like British people. And then they started talking in almost British accents.
Yeah. I mean, it certainly, there seems to have been a point where they decided, and Frazier being older, maybe he influenced Niles and Niles did it too, but like they both went into the same profession. Like it's all very, I don't know.
Have you seen, I think it's a Netflix original. Did you see this David Hyde Pierce movie called The Host?
I did not.
Oh my God. You've got to watch it. It's great.
Is it a comedy?
I would say, yeah. I mean, they labeled it as like horror/thriller.
Okay.
Because essentially the plot is, and it's not very long, it's almost like a long episode of a show, but essentially like a drifter or someone running from something like is like hiding from the law and like stumbles upon this man's house who's having a dinner party. It really is as if.
And he has to like pretend that he's invited?
Well, I mean, I don't want to ruin it for you, but what I will tell you, because I do think you should watch it, is that it's like he's still Niles, except that he's very mentally ill.
Okay. And the like, perfect host. I just found it on my phone. I've added it to my queue.
It's a ridiculous movie. I really think you should watch it, especially if you.
Reminds me of The Ref.
The Ref, what's that?
With Dennis Leary, yeah.
What's that movie?
It's like a Christmas movie. It's a family. Kevin Spacey's in it.
Great.
Yeah.
Definitely want to watch it now.
Not anymore.
Woody Allen, CK, yeah. Who else is in it?
Mm-hmm. It's Kevin Spacey before he was like famous. Like before, you know, it's like from like maybe 93 or 94, 95, something like that. But Dennis Leary is a guy who is I think he's on the lam. He's like a burglar or something. And he basically breaks into the house and holds the family hostage. And it's like Christmas dinner or like Christmas Eve around that time. And there's like a kid who's going to get kicked out of boarding school or is going to go to military school. Mm-hmm. There's the wife and Kevin Spacey hate each other. I think it's both their sets of parents. It's almost like Christmas Vacation, but then somebody shows up and is like holding them all at hostage. And he's the ref because like they all still fight. Like they're not like afraid of him. Like they obviously don't want him to kill them, but like they still get on like the stupid family fights. And he's like, it's just Dennis Leary doing Dennis Leary, which is kind of what he does in all his things that he's in, right?
Yeah.
Like Demolition Man, he plays like the guy who's like the head of like the sewer people or whatever. And he just does Dennis Leary bits. Like that's like his character. He just yells about, I want to have a steak. I want to smoke. I want to blah, blah, blah. Like all that stupid shit that he does from his stand-up act. Like basically just like the warmed over Bill Hicks stuff.
I would definitely watch The Ref, especially because I'm a Grinch, I would say, with holidays, especially specifically Christmas. So
that's a good time to be a Grinch. Probably like the best time to be a Grinch.
For sure. Yeah. I love Halloween. I wish Halloween were as important.
Did you ever see the Grinch Halloween special?
No. I didn't know that existed.
Yeah. It's really weird. It has like really weird animation. It's pretty cool. It's the same as the Grinch Christmas animation, but like they have like, it's basically just like on Halloween, all the Whos have to like lock their doors because there's like monsters that come or something like that. It's like they build out the Who canon, and it's like these people have like nightmare lives. But
sounds great.
And like there's like one of the Whos gets like is not home in time, like and the family still like locks the door or whatever. So like the kid is out, and like the Grinch is involved somehow. I forget generally, but it's more about like the dancing skeletons and monsters and shit. It's good. I don't know if it's on anything, but check it out.
I'll consider it. It's probably on YouTube. Ripped. So, okay, there's a not very many left, but I wanted to enter into cockatoo episodes. So do you remember when after Niles moves into the Montana, he gets a pet cockatoo called Baby?
Baby.
So there are multiple dinner party episodes involving the bird. So the first one, which you did mention before, is Taps of the Montana. So that episode is when Niles like leaves the Montana for a while because he can't afford to live there during the time that he's getting divorced from Maris. So this guy moves in to take his place, who's very loud and likes to tap dance, and now the tenant board wants to kick Niles out, and so he decides to have a dinner party to try and impress them.
Famous way to impress people.
Of course, you invite...
Being rich seems like a nightmare, right?
Right, it sounds
like I'm in a conflict with these people, so I have to invite them all over for dinner to fix it? That sucks. That sounds like
With hors d'oeuvres. Oops. Okay. I might be getting this mixed up. Okay,
what? So, you're telling me you're having a hard time...
This is the synopsis.
Differentiating the bird dinner party farce episodes of Frasier? Come on.
Niles is subject to severe scrutiny from the Montana board, who tells Niles they're considering kicking him out in an attempt to wrangle the support. Yes, he does throw a dinner party.
That's not the tap dancing guy episode, though.
Correct.
That's the first one with the bird.
I think what happened is...
To kill a squawking bird or whatever it's called, right? Isn't that what it's called? It's something like that.
So there's different deaths. So I think the tap dancing guy is in this. What happens in this episode is somebody on the board actually dies. They're playing a game of murder, and this guy actually dies.
I haven't seen this one in a while, but I remember this one, yeah. Okay.
So he dies, and then...
Classic farce,
dead body in the apartment, and then Niles decides they're going to just make it seem like it's part of the game, and that he's not actually dead.
He doesn't want to ruin the party.
He does, yes.
He wants to make sure he stays in the Montana.
So I have an example of a great Roz line, which is they needed more party guests, so they invited Roz over. And Niles says, "You're just here to collect people's coats." Oof. And she said, "You actually think I'm so hard up for a night out that I would spend the evening pushing drinks in God's waiting room?" I thought that was a great line. I thought that was great. So, yes, in that episode, Mr. Probst dies.
Jeff Probst's father. Survivor host's father, Jeff Probst.
Correct. Now, to follow that one up, another episode with the bird was from season 4. I should have put these in order. This one's called To Kill a Talking Bird. Yes. Niles invites his new neighbors over for a dinner party.
This one's my favorite.
But has trouble removing his pet bird from the top of his head.
Yep, and the bird starts talking shit.
Right.
The bird remembers Carol what he Balazs. Says about everybody. Yep.
Yes.
That's the primo shit. That is the pure uncut. I love that. That's like, that's one of those where like I flash back to it in my head.
Yeah.
When I watched it again, I was like, oh man, I remember this. This was like the funniest shit I've ever seen in my life when I was like 12 or whatever. Cause it's like the bird is being mean to the people and it's because he was mean to them in front of the bird and the bird remembered. Like, it's so good.
Your intro to comedy. It sounds like you were already analyzing it at 12 years old.
Pretty much. Very, very detailed analysis. Just saying the bird is being mean because he was being mean. That one is the one that stood out for me as the among the main dinner party ones, because it has obviously the bird talking is like the equivalent of like sweeps, like pyrotechnics, you know, like super exciting stuff for the show. But I thought it was really good.
It's actually also a great visual.
And it gets to run out of the kitchen.
Oh, yeah.
Which is great. What you need. It's important for all those things.
For sure. And it just looked really funny when he put the like towel over his head to cover up the bird. And then I think.
And the one lady definitely wanted to bang Frasier until the bird talks shit, and then she left.
The bird calls, ruins it, cock blocks him.
Yep.
Is there there's got to be a joke in there, I guess.
Chicken blocks him.
I mean, he's a cockatoo.
Cockatoo blocks him.
Yes. Stephanie's horny. That's what the bird says.
Yep.
And then she leaves.
That's pretty risque stuff. Horny. That's pretty, that's weird because, like, do you think Niles said horny, right? That's kind of weird,
at
right?
any point?
Where does the bird learn the word horny? It doesn't sound like a Niles term.
Oh, you know what? That's a good point. Did either one of them say horny? Oh,
I don't know if Martin would ever even say horny. Like, who could have said horny in front of the bird?
I think they were talking about Frasier? I don't remember. Yeah, you know what? I need to rewatch that episode now. Because the bird can't just come up with new adjectives.
Right.
Unless
it's a very different show than we thought. It's a different episode.
So I don't even need to ask you which cockatoo episode you prefer. It's the second one.
I'm a huge fan of that one. I think it's great. It's very simple. It's such a dumb payoff, but I think it's great.
It's a great payoff. I have one more pick, and you know what? It's going to be a reveal, actually, since we're coming to the end. I have a pick for my favorite dinner party episode. So before I get to it, do you feel like anything has been left off of this list that you really liked?
I wouldn't say dinner party, but I just happened to be watching it. I think I was already like part of the way in when I started picking up the ones that you sent to kind of just check out. It's the one where they had the singles party at the Montana.
Oh yes.
Where Martin has the dyed hair and where Roz goes into labor. Mm-hmm. It's not a dinner party per se, but it's all the same type stuff, right?
Absolutely.
Frasier like can't get laid because he's too desperate. It's been too long, so he's throwing himself at people.
Right.
They're
fighting.
They're fighting over the same woman who is also the woman who is like the super Christian radio lady from the West Wing. I recognize her from the one that Jeb Bartlett is like, if my brother wants to make clothes out of two different kinds of cloth, do I have to stone him to death or can I invite the whole town to do it? Or, the famous monologue.
I haven't watched the West Wing.
Oh, okay.
But I've heard it's great.
Sure. It's one of the good moments. She's like the awful like Laura Ingraham type lady basically. But anyway, that's like the one they're both trying to hit on, who then goes home with the bartender.
That's right.
And then Frasier tries to hit on the doctor, I think, or the nurse. But then but she thinks that Roz is his wife.
Yes.
And he's like too stupid to not just say something. Oh, right. We're not.
No, of course not.
Like it's the easiest thing in the world, you know. And living the charm life that he lives, she probably would say yes. She wants to go out with him.
Absolutely.
He's too dumb to just be like, oh no, we're not. She's asleep. Don't worry about her. She's asleep. You know, it's like, oh, wow, you're a real scumbag. She just had your child, is what the lady's thinking.
That was a good episode.
That was a good one. I like the Martin being pinned to the chair because his hair is melting off. The color is melting off, and it's stuck to the chair, so he, like, can't move. And he's like, there's a lady hitting on him. And he's like, we should get drinks. It's like, okay. And then he gets up and notices and panics and sticks to the chair. And he's like, well, one of us should probably keep this prime real estate. She goes, oh, I think you're right. And he goes, I'll have a beer. And then she's like, okay. And she's about to get up. And then she drops something. And he's like, I'll drop it on my foot. And he kind of kicks it to her. And she's like, all right, well, enjoy the night or whatever. So,
there's almost a word for word.
None of the crane men get it done that episode.
No, at least. None of them get it done. And separately, there was almost the exact same bit when Frasier, this is a separate episode where he got himself chained to a stripper.
Sure.
From Donnie's bachelor party. And the Regan, who he has a crush on, drops her groceries on the ground, but he can't help her because he's chained to a stripper and he starts kicking the the fruit over. So there's definitely some repeat stuff going on, and I'm not complaining.
No.
Just things that you notice when you've watched the show enough. So I do have one last pick. Now, I'm curious if you will know this episode just from me telling you the name and the season and the episode. Okay, so this episode is called The Dinner Party and is from season 6, episode 18.
This is one of those ones that ends up on all like the best sitcom episodes of all time. It's like one of like the top 100 episodes or whatever, I remember.
Do you?
Yeah, well, it's like this one and like the when they go to the ski house is another classic one.
Great episode.
Because they're just like, they're like the platonic ideal of like the format, right? Like the ski lodge is like all these people going in the wrong rooms. They're all trying to.
For sure.
They're all,
it feels like
horny
a play.
They're all horny for the wrong person. And they open the door and they're like, what are you doing in here? What are you doing in here? Like, that's all like that is just like a perfect distillation of that format. And the dinner party, this one is like the, and that's why the name is even perfect. Cause it's just like, this is like, if you were teaching a class on how to write an episode, this is how you would do it.
Would basically. What is it? A bottle episode?
It pretty much is. Yeah. Every episode of the show is basically a bottle episode.
Sure.
There's not a whole lot to do.
It's just Frasier and Niles, and they want to host a dinner party, and things get complicated. That's really it.
There are some misunderstandings and humorous consequences.
Sure.
As a result.
They accidentally bump into each other while they're both trying to book a caterer, and they get their flip phones mixed up and then accidentally pick up the wrong ones and lose the caterer. Then they find out they're odd, like a couple.
See, cell phones is already, that does take me out of it a little bit mentally, right? Because it's like, I don't think about that. I want to think of them having a big, dumb portable phone, right? I don't want them to have cell phones.
I mean, they might, like, they, it starts with, I think, it was an indication of Niles's wealth to me, which is early on, he does have a flip phone. And it's often, like, that's where he gets in fights with Maris, and he'd open it and, like, put the antenna up and stuff.
Also, probably double as a car phone, right?
Yes, car phones, that era. Definitely.
You plug it into the thing, and then it's also a car phone.
Yeah, no, that's my big issue with just reboots in general. I don't like the idea of trying to like update things.
Storytelling is really hard now because everyone, like, you have to contrive a reason why, if it's going to be set in the modern day, why people don't just use their phones to do whatever, to solve whatever the problem is. Because most things that would come up as like a plot obstacle, you can probably deal with, you know, oh, we have no service, or I lost it, or oh, the battery's dead. You have to like contrive. It's like a big problem with horror movies.
I was just about to say that. You know, once somebody cuts the line, that's not a thing anymore.
Yeah.
My dad has a landline, and I think, and my mom, and that's it. Those are the only people I know with landlines.
Yeah, we have one. We have one too. I usually call my parents' phones, but we do have one. My parents live mostly in Florida now. We have one there.
Yeah, exactly.
It is a very like, yeah, when you said they had cell phones, I like had forgotten that. And it's like, oh, weird. Yeah, I guess they would. It's like 19, or it's like probably 2000 at that point, right? When it came out, like it's not.
It's like, it annoys me because you also, I feel like now there's a separate conversation you have to have about like what, you know, I don't know, what apps would they have and all of this other stuff. Well, that's what Seinfeld 2000, Seinfeld 3000? One of the Seinfeld Twitter accounts, I don't know. There's two that I can think of. One, Josh Gondelman like co-runs.
Right. There's Seinfeld Today. There's one that plays pretty straight, and then there's the super weird one.
So the super weird one, I don't know who's behind it.
Me either.
But I know, because I was looking at it today, I know that they have recently started to watch Frasier because they have recently started to have Frasier memes.
Oh, yeah.
So whoever they are, whoever you are, I will find you and make you be on this podcast.
Somebody did a version of the, you know, that like the American Chopper thing going around with the two guys yelling at each other.
Yes.
They did that with, I think it was with Martin and Frasier, I want to say.
Interesting.
And it's like, and the meme is about how like people only like Frasier ironically, and they go back and forth yelling about how that's either true or not true.
Gotcha.
So there's people who are out there doing it, you know?
For sure. Okay, so if you didn't know, my favorite dinner party episode is the dinner party. Uh-huh. Mostly because I enjoy watching Niles and Frasier fight. And at one point,
they physically fight, and they won. That's great.
They physically fight. They play this game where they, called Blackball, where they can decide who's going to be invited to the dinner party, who isn't. And then Frasier, I think
they get like peremptory strikes, like a jury.
Right. Frasier puts in like a dried up old fig, and then they start fighting. And then all the balls come out, and then I think they get freaked out because they feel like they're crazy, like they're a couple. And I think, I don't even know if they end up having a dinner party. But yeah, that's my favorite. And yours is Cockatoo.
The dinner party is also very good. Added bonus of them fighting is when they're at odds, it's almost better. Frasier's helping Niles in the To Kill a Mockingbird.
Yeah, they have to work together.
Which is not as, I don't know. It's funny in a different way, but I do like when there's that one episode where they're in like a hotel room and they physically fight. And it's like it's like the funniest shit ever.
When they write the book together.
Yes.
Yes, you'll have to check out, I believe it's episode 3 of this podcast, which is all about sibling rivalry.
Uh-huh.
And because my favorite sibling episode was when they tried to open the restaurant together.
Oh, that's a great one.
That was one of my favorites. Well, I think we've discussed a lot of important things today. I hope that everyone will rewatch these episodes because they're all gold.
There's no bad episodes.
There's no bad episodes.
There probably are, I guess, right? Later, maybe. But I haven't seen any. I haven't seen. Maybe there are some that are forgettable, I guess. But like they're all pretty. They're usually pretty entertaining. It's hard to really find something that, you know,
there's definitely,
to not find something you like.
Yeah, there's a lot of repeats, I would say, in terms of like funny moments when you get into the later seasons. But I wouldn't fully know all of them because I haven't rewatched the later seasons as much.
There you go.
Well, thank you so much for being here. Before we end the podcast, is there anything you would like to plug?
Sure. I have a podcast myself. This is like a snake eating its own tail here. It's me and Eli Uden and Kath Barbadoro. We're all comedians, and it's called What a Time to Be Alive. It's kind of like a, we just like do like a more or less a news countdown of just like, we solicit stuff from people and we also just like troll stuff to find like the dumbest news stories of the week. We've been trying recently to avoid politics because it's like too low hanging fruit almost. And it's also a weekly podcast, so it's hard. Like by the time we talk about something, if it happened like even 2 days before, it's like super old hat. But
and it's called
What a Time to Be Alive.
Right. Yes.
And we're on all the stuff, and we just launched our Patreon for bonus stuff, and the bonus episodes are a little bit looser. We don't really have, we're not as close to the format, and we just kind of shoot the shit. It's kind of we keep the main episode tight, like an hour and 10 or so, and then we sort of kind of go off in the bonus one. We're not really stressed about staying on topic. So, I don't know. It's fun. I enjoy it. Maybe you will, too. Check it out. What a Time to Be Alive.
I will check it out, maybe, as we both discuss.
That's fine.
Who listens to anyone's podcast?
Nobody.
Not me. I feel bad because people will be like, what is your favorite podcast? And I don't have an answer.
I'm just routinely declaring podcast bankruptcy where I just like mark all as listened or whatever and then like start fresh and try to like catch up. And
sure.
That's it.
I mean, what I would love to do is market this podcast that I have as A for Frasier Freaks and then also for, excuse me, not Frasier Freaks, Craniacs.
Yep.
And also, it's not an insult because I am a Frasier freak.
Right.
Or if I could somehow put it into the oddly satisfying category, you know, like you've got ASMR
yep.
as a thing. If it's something I could market to people to listen to as they're falling asleep or if they need something to fall asleep.
Sure.
To. So
you do have the voice.
Thank you so much. Yes, I'd like to get into some voiceover work if possible. I hear there's money in it. All right. Well, thank you so much for joining me. And as I always say, good night, Seattle. You can laugh.